Our precious Father in heaven, we just thank you again this evening. We are truly grateful for your kindness. We are truly grateful for having brought us this far. We thank you again for what you will do this evening in our lives, through us, in us, with us. Father, our desire is that your name will be glorified in our lives. And Father, we know that any life that your life is glorified in, there's always thankfulness and joy. Let our joy be full.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was telling my wife all this evening, there's a saying that kept coming to my heart. And I put it down. I don't know if the Lord wanted me to teach on something like that, but it keep telling me that commitment is not always convenient. That commitment is not what? It's not always convenient. And in life, it's always easy for us to look for what is convenient. But you know very well that there's nothing that you're going to get something great out of if you're never committed to it. But we want to be convenient. We want convenience. But it's kept in that commitment is not always convenient. And thinking about it, you know, as we celebrate this 2014 Thanksgiving, celebrating our families, our health, our lives, all kinds of things, there's a tendency for us to focus, to give our thanks. And that thanks is only appropriate to all the success that we've had or how things have worked out well. So generally, you might ask somebody, how is your Thanksgiving this year? And if somehow he or she has not met their expectations or what they were expecting in life, they tell you that the Thanksgiving of 2014 was terrible or is terrible. And the only reason why they are saying that is that whatever we consider success has not been realized. And the key thing about that is that even us as Christians, we begin to judge Thanksgiving based on the fact of what has materialized, things that we're able to see. The key thing we forget about ourselves is that our lives truly much comes from what we believe and not necessarily what we see. And the thing about what you believe is that it takes commitment. Praise the Lord. If you're not committed, you can't believe anything. Because the only thing you're going to be saying, when I see it, I believe it. When I see it, so it's always convenient. So if it's not working out, your body is, if it's not working out, there's always problems. So the commitment might not see, but the heart of the spirit, the inner person of him, his faith, will do what? Will see. And that's what the Bible talked about Abraham. He said that he lived in tents, considering that this place that is not what where is what permanent for him. He said he was looking to the new world, that the foundation has been laid by who? By God himself. So to him, he was able to give thanks and rejoice, not because of what he was saying, but because of what he was committed and looking onto. Praise the Lord. So the base of our thanks should not be faithless. It should not be a thankfulness that's just based on how the world consider being thankful. So they're thankful. So if this year, if the person was looking for a job, or if they got a scholarship, or whatever it is that has happened for them, that they could just say, that's what's going to be thankful. That's what they're going to be thankful about. So they will be excited because those things happen. But if those things did not happen, if you see us, the world, they'll be moody. Because if you ask them, they'll say, this did not happen. What am I thanking for? What am I excited for? Praise the Lord. But for us, thanksgiving is in order even in suffering. Because we do not live our life by seeing, we live it by believing. So even when we are pressed, Even when we are confronted with many things, in us, there's still thanksgiving. And the reason why there's thanksgiving in us is because we do not live by what we see. We live by what we believe. And because what we believe is the truth, and it's always alive, and it never dies, and at every time it comes to pass, so we can always see ahead. We can always see much, much further. Let's look at Romans chapter 5:3-5. I'm not going to do much today because I want to lay some groundwork and you think about it. So I want us to really be thankful. This Thanksgiving, I want us to celebrate it and to all year to just be thankful. Let us not think that the only way to be thankful is that I needed a shoe and I can see the shoe now. Because anybody can be thankful like that. And that's how everybody else is. But what it proves is the lack of the knowledge of God. That kind of thankfulness, what it proves is the lack of the knowledge of God. So it says, and we are also happy with the troubles, what? With the troubles we have. Isn't that amazing? Somebody says that he's happy. He's thankful with what? With the troubles that he has. But normally you would think that if somebody have troubles, they can't be happy. They can't be thankful. If you ask them, how is this Thanksgiving? Oh, he just says, well, you know, it's just been a terrible time. You know, we're not just going to say that it's a terrible year. But anyhow, maybe we're looking forward to next year. But he says that we are also happy with the troubles we have. Then he asks the question, why are we happy with troubles? Why does it not make a difference to us? Because we know that these troubles do what? They make us more patient. Remember I started saying, I said, commitment is not necessary. Commitment is not always what? Convenient. It's not always convenient. But the thing is that if you're committed to something, if you hold on to something, you will always get a result. So he says, look, because we know that these troubles make us more patient, they make us people that can be committed, that can have a goal. Do you know that's why there's certain people in life that have pursued so many things and none of them, they bring it to conclusion. If they start going, it gets difficult, they change course. If they start going, it gets difficult, immediately they encounter any little push, they change course. Because it's not convenient. And they keep changing course and they never arrive to their destination. Or when they finally arrive to whatever destination, it is not where they had originally or where they have been sent to. So they settle in life because of convenience. Because, you know, if it's not convenient, I can't handle it. But he says that, so troubles, when they come, he says, instead, when troubles come, he says, we are happy. He says, why are we happy? He says, because we know that what these troubles are going to do for us, that they make us more patient, that can be committed. You know, a patient person is committed. Verse 4. And this is what the patience does. This is what commitment does in the life of a person. And this patience is a proof that we are what? That we are strong. Whenever you see somebody who's committed, what it proves is that they are strong. As a matter of fact, it proves that not only to them and their environment, it proves that to the adversity that they are dealing with. That adversity begins to understand that this person is what? He's strong. If you come to lift up this chair and you find out that it's strong for you, what do you do? You let it go. You let it go. So we give thanks even in trouble, because what that happens is that it makes us people who can stand, and we develop patience. So why we do that is because we develop patience. You say what that patience does is that it proves to those things that we are strong, that they're not going to move us. It proves to them that we have a direction we are going to, and that we are focused, and we are confident that we will achieve what we are doing. He says, what this proof, and this proof does what? It gives us hope. Verse 5. And this hope will what? It will never disappoint. Listen, when somebody says never, it means never. And especially when God says never, it means that you take it up, you take it down, that will never happen. It says that these troubles, this happiness, this thanksgiving, at every time we are giving thanks, not looking at what we are facing, he said what it does is that it develops patience. And he said, and that commitment that we are determined, that we are confident, that we know something that is telling us that I'll succeed, that I'll get over this, that there's something we know. He said, what that makes us commit. He said, now what that begins to prove to our environment, what that begins to prove to those things that are challenging us is that, look, this guy is strong. This girl is strong. It's not going to happen. Move on. He said, that's the proof. But if there's no patience, there's no commitment, the proof also is that this thing can take him down. So then he will do what? He will exert more force. He will use his power and say, look, I can take her down. It's a matter of time. Let me just walk on her a little bit. And he says, why is this so? He says, the hope that comes from this never disappoints. He said, we know this because. You see, when you read the word, he says, this, all these things that I've just spoken about is not based on feeling. I'm not giving you guys pep talks. He said, we know this because God. We know this because what? God. Because of God, that God has poured out his love to fill our hearts through what? The Holy Spirit. We know this because God's love has been poured in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And because his love has been poured through our hearts, it means that he will never leave us. His power is available because he says that perfect love does what? Cast out every fear. Perfect love never leaves anybody at any point. So why we know this and we are patient and we are through this trouble and we are thankful and we are happy is because we know that God has poured out his love. In other words, he has poured out himself. He's completely committed to us. So that's why. And then he says, if God now be for me, what? Who can what? So we give thanks. So as this Thanksgiving period is going on tomorrow and all through, let not be those of this world that say that it is what we have seen that bring thanks. So when we are in trouble, we begin to fidget. We begin to be all sad. We can't move. But let us be people who are thankful. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. He says, for our present troubles are small. And what? I won't what? It won't. Because we have a proof to that adversity that we are strong. And I've told people that whenever you encounter something that is stronger than you, your resistance is not much. You move on. Whenever they encounter anything that is stronger, that is why. Immediately I come here, if I want to push this house down, if I move it like that, I'll move on. As a matter of fact, if I don't move on, anyone who walks by there will be laughing at me, going like, is he crazy? What is he doing? He said it won't last very long. Yet, these problems, yes, this trouble, yet, these troubles, they produce for us what? A glory that vastly outweighs them and will what? Last forever. Say these troubles, they are small, they don't last. He said, yet they produce something. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18. Because of that, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. We don't do what? Because if we look at that's why we don't give thanks. That's why we say we are waiting for the next year. Because we are just looking at it. So we don't know that it's working out. Vastly what outweighs all of that problem. We don't know that. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot what? That cannot be seen. We fix our gaze on the things that what? They cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon what? They will soon be gone. They will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, they will do what? they will last forever. They will last forever. Romans 8:28. And we know. And we what? We know. We know that God causes everything. What is everything? Everything is everything. I don't care what it is called. I don't care what it is. We know that God causes everything. Everything. To work together for the good of those who do what? Who love God and are what? And are called according to his purpose what? For them. And what is the purpose of God's call for you? His love. And you say, we know because his love has been what? Poured. That's his purpose. So we know that all things work out for good. So knowing this, we can be people who are thankful. With this knowledge, it's not what we see, because we know that it is temporary. We know it'll be gone. We know that this our life is a proof to that thing, that we are too strong for it. So we can rejoice all through troubles, trials, persecution, with all their forces. Because with other people that are not like us, that don't know these things. Because remember, more than four times he told us we know. I've read more than four places of what we know. See, that's the important thing, that we must know these things. The world that do not know these things that I've been talking about, this no, that do not know it, what happens is that those issues, those adversity, those immediately does what? Pushes them down. There's no proof to those things that they are strong. Because they don't know these things. So there's no proof. So immediately they get overtaken by it. They get pushed down by it. They get hurt by it. They get devastated by it. And so like now, instead of a light of joy, they'll be outlining those troubles instead. So if you want to cut the turkey tomorrow, they'll say, give me one piece. Then when you sit small, they outline the problem. They will be saying, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I love this turkey. Oh, bring it up. They will be hugging people. Because all their sins, they don't know that in their sins be gone. Because they don't know that God causes everything. So it's important for us to know these things. To know them. I share the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew this. And look at what happened, and adversity and the Thanksgiving time. It's important. Because the best way in this world, you got to have examples. John chapter 6 from verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore. So I'll just tell this story. I'll go over the story and I'll give you time to just thank God. And we'll go home. You see, like a day like today, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and then it's snowing. It's easy for all of us to just say, it's Thanksgiving, it's snowing, let's do what? Let's stay home. But we have a commitment this evening to gather. Right? And give thanks to God. And this gathering tonight, there are some things that God will speak to us about. That if we are said, well, it's not convenient, we won't hear that thing. We won't. And life will continue. So sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Now, they followed him because they knew something. They followed him because what? They knew something. If they did not know, they won't follow. If we don't know that God causes everything to work together, we won't be happy in trouble. won't follow him. If we don't know that our present troubles are small and would last long, we'll be agitated in the middle of it and we might cause more harm to ourselves. If we do not know that because God has poured his love to fill our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome all these things, we ignore what has been poured in and we'll never use that strength. So a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miracles. They knew something. My beloved ones, these things I'm telling you, try to know them and hold them. That's our victory. Our victory is not how long we stay in church. Our victory is how much we take these things and know them and really begin to speak to ourselves about this and know them and encounter things. Whenever, I don't care how little the problem is. Even if you can start with a small one. A very small, even is that somehow lunch came and you didn't have money for lunch. Somebody might not think that's a big deal, but then you're real hungry. Your tummy is really rumbling. You can say, but I know that this will go by, I'll eat. You can start there. Because there are some people that you can rumble like that. They do crazy things. You think, I'm never going to do that. But there are some people that they get that hungry. The cost they will take to right away because they need to get fed, you'll be shocked. Do you know people have gone to rob stores because of that? Do you know people have sold their body because of that? It doesn't happen. Because they don't know this thing. Verse 3. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. Verse 4. The Jewish Passover feast was near. Now, understand that all of this is happening. You guys know the story about Passover, right? So the Passover really is a time of great celebration. So all this adversity we're about to look now was happening at a time that was supposed to be a time of great joy, celebrating a great thing that God has done for his people. Because Passover is how death passed them over in the land of what? Of Egypt. And he called it that celebration would be a feast. So whenever you're really having fun, when your friends call you, say, I'm having a feast. Praise the Lord, right? That's what you say. A feast. So this is happening in the middle of when feast is supposed to be celebrated. Thanksgiving is supposed to be celebrated. When people found themselves in this situation. Verse 5. And not just people, Jesus himself found himself in this situation. So when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for what? For these people to eat. We have a problem. We have a problem. How can I celebrate Thanksgiving? Where am I going to even find money to eat? I'm in the hospital. I can't even eat. My appetite is gone. Can plug in any problem there. How is this going to be resolved? How is this going to be resolved? It's a feed. How is this going to resolve? I have a problem. Verse 6. He asked this only to do what? To test him. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. So already he knew in his mind, he knows something. He knows that God loves him. Because just as I said before, he said, for the Father loves the Son, and he does what? He shows him everything. So before, when he saw this adversity, he already had a proof that this thing cannot overtake him. Because the Father loves the Son. Because all power belongs to the Father. And it pleases him to reveal it to the Son. So he knew. So there was adversity. So he was asking them, he said, how are we going? What's going to happen with this adversity? Now look at people who didn't know what their reaction was. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages will not even buy enough food. Didn't know anything. Panic. Even if I collect my pay for 8 months. This will not solve it. Even if we do this, it will not solve it. Even if we call this person, this problem has come to kill. There's no answer. You know, there are issues in our life that you can talk to somebody. They tell you that there is no answer. They say it's your lot. It's that person's lot, not your lot. They say it's that person's lot that they should take it. But Jesus knew something. He says, no, cannot be. Not with God. With God, this cannot be the lot. It cannot be that the people should not eat. 8 months' wages will not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. A bite, not even to eat. So a bite. Verse 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. So it's not only one person. Are you kidding? If you have not heard how strong this problem is, maybe Philip just spoke and you thought this is just Philip. Simon Peter is the head apostle. Maybe let me speak because I'm the main guy. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among what? So many. Now, listen, I'm your assistant. Okay, let me come. I'm somebody that has something to be able to help you in this. But this help will not do anything. So your condition is it's over. So why should you be thankful? Why should you be joyful? There's no hope. There's no hope. Okay, look at even some options. But these options won't do anything. Understand that what wants to steal our joy, most times it will give us options. But the option it will give us is not the option of God. Because if I throw you the problem and give you no option, you might try to begin to find option. But if I give you your options, I tell you that these are all your options, but hold the main one that can solve your problem, you can easily just go ahead and say that there's no answer to this. If anybody asks you, say, well, you know, they gave me my options. Look at this. They won't solve it. But what they have tricked us, what they have tricked the person is that their option, the answer to it, they have done what? They have hidden it from me and gave him all the other options that won't work. So that's what was happening here. But Christ knew. That's why you too have to know the love of the Father. You have to know that these troubles, all they do is develop your patience. And this, your patience, is a proof that you're going to outwit them. Because these patience bring hope. And that hope never disappoints. Because you have to know that. So when you know that they give you all these other options, and in all those options, none of them is victory, you can still say no. Are you guys listening to me? You can still say what? No. 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 Because it's like selling you a dummy. So the condition, it will give you options. Just say yes, you know. Why should you rejoice? Look at this now. Okay, you've tried this. This is it. But how far will they go among so many? Verse 10. Jesus looked at them. Did he answer them back? Did he start telling them, let's discuss it? He said, tell the people to sit down. He knew that God would feed them. Yes, but there's an adversity now. He wasn't walking by what he can see. At this point, there was no food. At this point, they have proven that the few 8 loaves that the boy has is not going to do anything. Was it up to 8? They have 5 loaves. They have proven that even 8 months, even if they keep all these guys here and go start working for 8 months, if they come back 8 months later, what they have with them will not even give enough, one bite to each person. They've told him all of that. And look at Jesus' response, because he knew. He said, have the people do what? Sit down. Let them sit down. He ignored all that nonsense. He didn't take their options. We have to go with the options that we know what God has said. Not what we are seeing. So there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. No food, nothing. He's telling 5,000 men, sit down so you can eat. Verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves. And what did he do with it? Give thanks. That is when you give thanks, it's in the greatest adversity. It's not when you have seen the whatever you call result.
The person that's expecting the greatest miracle should be the one that gives the greatest thanks. The secret of the kingdom. So this thanksgiving, if you have plenty, or if you have what is called trouble, if you have trouble, give the greater thanks. Because you know. He said what he did with the loaves, instead of beginning to say it was not enough, instead of beginning to use those options, he told them, sit down, he lifted up, he gave thanks. And as he gave thanks, he did what? He distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Isn't that amazing? The thing that 8 months of wages will not solve. The thing that even that what was there was not enough. That all somebody did was with it was give thanks. And all of a sudden, it was enough. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? Everybody should give thanks. As a matter of fact, he that has less, he that is more problem, she that is a more problem, should do what? Should really give thanks. In thanks, being thankful, that is where your miracle is. Jesus knew it. Because he knew that the Father loves him. Even when he was dying, you know what Jesus, one of the words said? He said he knew that God would not allow his soul to what? In Hades. He said he knew he would not allow him to leave it there. He knew that he would not leave it there. And did God leave it there? No, he resurrected. So don't let anything dampen you from giving thanks. There are many things to be thankful for. Even that problem, lift it up. And do what? And thank God for it. And enjoy your day tomorrow. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your New Year. Enjoy all of this. Giving thanks. At every time when they say, well, 8 months is not going to even, 8 months worth of wages won't work. These 5 loaves is even too small. It's not going to do anything. When they give you all that options, push them by the side. Take the thing and do what? Say, Father, thank you. I know you love me. It is to you that I have come. No one that comes to you will ever go what? Empty-handed. That's why we give thanks always. Give thanks always. So they said, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Verse 12. When they had all had enough to eat, not talking about a bite, they have all had what? Enough. They didn't go back to work for 8 months. They didn't go back. They said, no, God can solve this. I'm not going to struggle it. God can solve it. God can solve it. He wants to solve it. Bring it. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be what? Let nothing be wasted. That's important. See, that's why we are people that must be balanced. And we must be people that are temperate in the way we use the things that we have received. We must not be people who are wasteful. Because everything that we have received from what? Received from God. Received from God. So when you recognize that God has blessed you and what you have received from God, it is not something you begin to throw around, destroy them, be careless about it. No. That's why the most important thing that God has given you is life. You shouldn't be careful. You shouldn't be careless with your life. Life is a what? A gift from God. He said that he has come that you have life and have it what? Abundant. The abundance of the life that you have received from God. You shouldn't be careless with it. Count your blessings. Sit down. I told my family one day, I said, one day I was returning in a flight and sitting in the airplane, sitting in first class, and they walked by, asked me, do I want something? I said, no, no, I'm okay. And they're just pampering me and going, and then when they left me, I just lied and I began to cry, and tears were just running down my eye, running down my eye. And while I was running down my eye, I began to look at my life. I began to look at where I came from and what I can afford now. And tears were just running down my eyes, sitting, just lying down in that plane, just running down my eye. We shouldn't be people who are wasteful. We should appreciate what we have received. There is none of us that has not received something. I don't care if you are going through trouble right now. But if you stop and look around yourself, you have received. You have received much. There is no human, nobody. Even life itself is a gift. There are people that didn't make it after their parents got pregnant within 1 month. It was a fetus. It disappeared. There are some people, they made it to, they came out to this world. Within hours, they were gone. Many went by 3 months, 1 year. But God has spared you, spared me up to this time. For life, I give you an opportunity. Even if your life has been a mistake, you are alive now that you have opportunity that you can change it. That's something to be thankful of. Because the person that lost theirs yesterday don't have that opportunity. So I don't care what has happened. Today is a day of what? Of thanks. A day of thanks. Don't be wasteful. With the grace of God, don't be wasteful. Don't take your family for granted. Don't take your husband for granted. Don't take your wife for granted. Don't take your children for granted. Don't take your parents. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take your shoes for granted. Clean it. Keep it well. He said, gather the pieces that are left. Let nothing be what? Let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. If you don't need it, look around for people who are in need. Give it to them. Touch people's life with your abundance. Don't live a selfish life. Verse 13. So they gathered them and filled what? 12 baskets. I'm telling you, every time you look at your life, I don't care what is going on. If you're thankful, there's always abundance lying around. It might not be the one that you're looking for, but there's always abundance. It might be that what you are looking for is A, but there's W's all over around you. There's always, I'm telling you, there's always abundance. But just stop. Just stop and look. He says, so they gathered and they filled 12 baskets with pieces. Now it was not whole anymore. But they had value. What was, there was abundance, had value, so they didn't waste it. So now they didn't tell us what they did with that, but now can be gone to another people. Again, because these are the people that could not find a bite to eat. Remember before. So it was filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world. They begin to praise the name of the Lord. They begin to praise the name. They begin to praise the name of the Lord. So I'll give us two topics to be praised and from here. And then after that, put on the music. And after that, you should have your own. Give you around 15, 20 minutes. Think of things to thank God of. If you have been down, turn that down to joy. Say, these troubles, all they're doing is building patience. It is a proof to this thing, I'll defeat him. So you bless the name. You lift it up. You lift it up. You say, Father, this issue. You see, let me tell you, God knows them, but he says that if any man has any need, that they should do what? They should pray. But God knows everything. But you yourself should know that I need God. So whatever it is, there's nothing too small. You bless the name of the Lord. Thank him that, do you know that this cold winter, that is cold as it is, that some people don't have heat? Say, Father, thank you. We have heat. Lord, we have heat. Father, thank you. It begins to change your perspective in life. You begin to see value in people. You begin to see value in things. You begin to see value in you. You begin to value yourself. Praise the Lord. You begin to value yourself. So you won't just be anymore. You won't be like, there's nothing good to be grateful of. Then all of a sudden, you begin to see in you, begin to value yourself, begin to see many, many, many reasons to be grateful. So put it, so the first thing I want us to do is just, I want us to thank God for this church. Thank God for this church. This church has been a blessing. I don't know about it, for me and my family, it has been a tremendous blessing. Continue to teach me commitment. It continues to open my eyes to the truth of God. It continues to cause me to know, as I go through the scripture, to know. And beyond all things, this church has given me so much gifts, given me you guys. People I can call anytime and chat with. People that love me. So this place has been a blessing. I want us to take a minute and just thank God.